Good afternoon. I'm the last presenter, so I hope you're all still alert. what I want to do is first of all, let me disclose that I have no conflicts to disclose. And the three objectives I have for today to bring you to the point of understanding a very creative approach that we've used in the state of Florida relative to including as a part of cessation a system change model. So the objectives today is to describe the Florida Area Health Education Center network, the Nova Southeastern University system change model. Secondly, want to analyze, I'll show you 3 years of data and what we've been able to find out, you know, with respect to relapse, with respect to continuing on with not smoking, and be able to give you a discussion and a recommendation here. A little bit about the network. The Florida Area Health Education Network comprises of five medical schools in which they represent their universities, as you can see there. They are funded by the state of Florida. The legislature appropriates funds to direct to the Florida Area Health Education Network for the purposes of including and implementing throughout the 67 counties training for health professionals, training for current as well as future health professionals, if you will, as well as comprehensive cessation services throughout the state. You'll notice those numbers there. They represent our 10 community-based 501c3 centers that are located throughout the state. The carve-out that you see is Nova Southeastern University's 19 counties that are designated sites for us in our university to implement the training and cessation. Within those 19 counties that we're responsible for, we have two of those 10 centers that are located strategically within that area. The objective here for really looking at a systems model, which the state of Florida wanted us to do, is primarily because in those 19 counties, we have 40% of the state of Florida's population. We have the highest prevalence rate, incidence and prevalence, of tobacco smoking in those areas. So definitely a very prime to be the recipient of implementing this demonstration model. So what is this AHEC system model? It encompasses a number of strategies that you will see later, by and large, to support healthcare organizations and being able to bring about a change in those organizations, to the extent being that we can be able to identify persons who are smoking, who's not necessarily smoking themselves, but they're in a family where they're exposed to secondary smoke, which to us is just as relevant. So, the Public Health Service clinical practice guidelines show that 3 minutes or less intervention by a physician when he's with his patient can help to increase abstinence from 11% where it is now. 11% is a baseline where people who do not even try to stop smoking, or they decide to stop smoking on their own, we're saying that we can increase that abstinence from that point to 14%. However, that's not enough, because we know that smoking, as you heard before with some of the earlier presenters, contribute significantly to the mortality and morbidity in this country. So therefore, we need to do better than that. The system change model suggests that there are three foci. Number one, we're focusing on the clinicians, and that is those persons that we train, both current and future professionals. We focus on the organization, as you see, the healthcare facilities, and the third most prime unit that intersects and connects those three circles together is our cessation program. Now, many people use the Long Association's Freedom from Smoking curriculum. We have designed our own in the state of Florida, and it's called the Quit Smoking Now model, which is a very comprehensive curriculum. Several individuals and schools from other states and programs have asked how could they purchase it, because it's been tested and has proven to be very, very successful. What you see then are the AHEC tobacco activities that we carry out, relapse management, we work with counseling, repeat counseling. We work very carefully with the quit line where we refer many of our clients there. We primarily do group cessation work, not individual work as such. We do the we do it in multiple formats. We do it web-based as well as going into local communities, into health facilities to carry it out. And of course, we focus on long-term intervention. We basically use the U.S. Public Health Service clinical practice guidelines, focusing on coordinated interventions. That is, working with a team of people to help bring about the delivery of our product. And secondly, we work with the insurers and purchasers and healthcare organizations to help them to promote and be able to cover the treatments. And right now we know that in some instances there is third-party reimbursement for care that's been provided by health providers in order to enable persons to stop smoking that have gone through cessation program. So our strategies of in our AHEC system are based on the Public Health Service clinical guidelines. Number one, we implement tobacco user identification systems in each of the clinical settings. What we actually do is that we focus on hospitals, we focus on the federally qualified health centers, and we also focus on the individual communities wherever they may need the work being able to be carried out. And in that setting, we want to go in and change the environment within that hospital or that federally qualified center. We change the waiting room. We train the individuals who are the first point of contact for a patient who's coming in to have their services being provided. And there is an introductory form which asks that individual right at that desk, before they're even assigned to one of the staff physicians or the nurse practitioner, they're asked at that time, do you smoke? And under those circumstances, that information is entered into the database. If that federally qualified center or hospital has an electronic health record, it goes directly into the electronic health record by way of the nurse who then works with that clerk who's gotten that initial information, and as a result of it, it then feeds in to the individual who's going to care for that individual later on, and then begin to work with them to lead them into either the quit line, into our AHEC program, or go to the web-based program. We provide educational resources and feedback. We do send in individuals based on the grant that we have. We're able to send them in to those various sites to do the training of the staff in this area. Also, we dedicate staff to provide treatment. We have a number of tobacco specialists. We also have, in the state of Florida, a tobacco specialist program where we train. We are a certified trainer of tobacco specialists in the state of Florida. We develop our program as a result of having to, I'm going to have to get some water. As a result of having to export our people out of the state of Florida to other states to be trained and to become tobacco specialists. So what we did is our state of Florida allowed us to develop our own program in which the training occurs out of Florida State University, who are certified for training persons in that area. We also help to promote hospital policies that support and provide the inpatient tobacco dependent services, and we provide locally available services throughout the state of Florida. What are our target? Our target are major hospitals, the federally qualified healthcare centers, as mentioned before, physicians' offices, particularly in the rural and underserved areas. Most of the 19 counties that you saw for Nova Southeastern University are in rural and underserved areas. We have a few urban areas, but most of the clients are that we work with in terms of group counseling are in settings where they do not have the kind of professional help. They have very few doctors. They have one hospital. They have very few health professionals, primary care assistants, and they have the health department. And in many instances, the health department is a long distance away from where their homes are. So we go out into the community health centers, we go out into the schools to provide these services, these cessation services. And in that regard, we've been fairly successful. We go into every private physician office in the rural and underserved areas, and the various clinics that may be around, including the human service agencies. Now, there's a basic initial change approach that we use when we go into either the hospital or either the community health center or the other healthcare settings. We use an initial assessment to go in and find out what is going on in that institution, what is going on in that clinic as far as carrying out any of the system change activities that we identify. So we look at the outreach to smokers. Are they focusing on any outreach to smokers? We also ask about any application to evidence-based treatment for practices modeled in the clinics and hospital delivery, reducing, eliminating barriers for easier access. There are five different areas, and what we do is that we have a point system that's attached. And the point system says, you, number one, if you're really good, that means that you're mostly doing system change in your organization. What we did not want to do was to go into an organization and be duplicative of what was already there, but to be creative and try to interject those areas that a particular institution did not have already, they had not already implemented. So we were very, very successful in being able to put together a framework or a baseline for those institutions. And we follow it up with what we call at Nova Southeastern University is a simple site process assessment form. Okay, then we have this initial assessment. We follow it with in our 19 counties, this particular form is not being used throughout the state, but is being used in the 19 counties. And look what it says. It says, we want to know, we have categories here. Level number one, they provide training services, they provide cessation services, and they practice environmental technical assistance. If a hospital or health facility, health department, if you will, are carrying out those particular activities, then they're considered to be level one. That means that they can be coded as participating in essential system change, providing training, providing patient cessation and practice environment. Whatever is missing, we will go in there and replace for them. We'll go in and take the courses, we'll go in and take consultants, we'll go in and help them revise the system. Now, as they progress, once you have carried out level one, you go to level two, and you would have to achieve at least five of those areas under level two as such. We've been very, very successful in being able to identify clearly what we needed to do in those organizations. The state of Florida required that all of our AHEC programs and all 10 centers also implement within those organizations a system change activities tracker. But I can assure you it's not something if you decide to participate in a system change model, you would not want to use this form. And the reason being, I have to use it in the state of Florida, but don't quote me, please, because I'm in trouble. I'm unemployed before I even get back to Florida. But as you can see, I just want you to see all those pages there. I mean, I have many other alternates in my life, and I thought maybe it would be best for me to go into my second retirement. But at any rate, we tolerate it, and it is something that we have to do. By and large, primarily because the state of Florida, through the administration of the Florida Department of Health, funds the AHEC program at roughly about $12 million. Okay, I'd like to show you, go very quickly then, and show you our model. The QSN flowchart model that we have consists of 6-week cessation classes. We've trained over 8,000 people during this past year, just at Nova Southeastern University. The state level, we've trained a total of 18,000 people during this year, so it's a very comprehensive, broad-based program throughout. We do a follow-up survey at 1 week, 4 weeks, and 3 months. 1 week, one month, and 3 months, if you will. And I'd like to show you the evaluation very quickly. As we move towards the evaluation of the statistical analysis over the last 3 years, here is the form that's used by the individual that calls every member who's been in those cessation classes. They're called for a total of four different times. The question that we ask is, have you smoked or used tobacco in the last 7 days? That's the question. And they tell us yes or no. So summarily, here's our findings. There's been a total of 8,766 unduplicated persons that we have done cessation training with during that three-year period from 2010 to 2013. We had repeat people because of relapses. They relapse and they come back into the program. So under the circumstances, we had to consider the dropout. So there's a 10% dropout of people who are duplicates or don't show up anymore. So here's our results, our follow-up intervals at 1 week, 1 month, and 3 months. We asked the question, used tobacco in the last 7 days? They said no. And you'll notice that 61%. And we asked yes. And then, of course, look at the no response to the follow-up. So what we found out is that our estimated quit rate at 1 week was somewhere between 61% and 40%. As you can see, at 1 month, it's the range of our quit rate is somewhere between 20 and 55%. And then at the 3 month period, it goes down. So there's increased relapse, if you will. However, the state of Florida has hired independent evaluators that evaluate the whole program. And as a result of it, the evaluators go out and they call these individuals at the six-month period. And at the six-month period, we found that we are at a 35% quit rate in the state of Florida, which is better than the national and is better than the quit line, you know, that in our state receives you know, far more money. And then I also showed 1 month. The key here is that at 1 month, clients are 4.4 times more likely to remain tobacco abstinent if they quit during that first week. So the first week is a critical week. If you can get them to quit at the first week, then by that month, we will find, as you see here, four times more likely to remain abstinent. And look at the three-month period, and we see the relapse rate, 31.78%. However, the subjects in the three-month period are 3.3 times more likely to remain tobacco abstinent if they quit on week one than those who did not on week one. And we also did some risk ratios, and I'll just summarize the risk ratios as opposed to the details in the table. The subjects in 3 months here are 9.9 times. This is the 1 month. This is comparing 1 month, those who quit at 1 month, and those that we evaluated at 3 months, 1 month versus 3 months. The subjects were nine times more likely to remain tobacco abstinent if they quit during that 1 month than those who did not quit during that 1 month. So based on our findings and summary, after the 3 years, the quit rate decreased over time from one week to a month three post-intervention. However, relapse is very significantly lower at month three if the participants report having quit at that 1 month follow-up interval. So the 1 month and the 3 month are very critical times if we can get individuals to stop smoking. In discussion, the system change strategies that we've introduced into the various settings have worked. And clearly help to systematize the settings in a way in which we've been able to influence many of our federally qualified health centers, our hospitals, to go what? Smoke-free. So there's been a significant increase in the smoke-free environments within our institutions as a result. So our recommendations here is that, one, to adopt aggressive and consistent clinical follow-up procedures from 1 week to the week four post-treatment. And to be able to put in place, what we've not been effective with, is putting in place a number of relapse management protocols to address We cannot just say relapse, but we have to look at what the triggers are that bring about that relapse. And in one of the earlier presentations, it was stress that created the problem, and we have to address those triggers, including hunger, routines that one cannot deviate from as a result of being pretty automatic in their life. Assess, develop, and or strengthen necessary coping skills, support alternative health behaviors, and finally, consistently document in the electronic health record the tobacco dependence. And that's where we heavily internalize organizations to document in that health record. So whoever comes after will then be able to know how they're to counsel that client once they return. And that should end my presentation, and I'll be available for any questions.
Thank you.